Yeah, I'd like you, if you would, turn them to the book of John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And here John, he says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciple whom he loved standing by. And he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to his disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing upon this word, please?
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for our pastor. We thank you, Father, for this community of believers. We thank you for each one present this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that you would take your word, anoint it in a special way, and direct you to each life present here this morning, that you may share it with those who come into contact with in the coming week. We ask all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So here's Mary. I mean, she's witnessing at the foot of the cross her son dying, literally dying before her eyes. Can you imagine how she must have felt? You know, you think about if you have grown kids, they're always going to be your baby, right? I'm sure that's how she felt about Jesus upon that cross. You know, there was an old man by the name of Simeon who actually prophesied that she was going to experience such horrible, horrible torment and grief after seeing what would happen to him upon the cross. In Luke chapter 2, verse 34 through 35, it says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother," he singled it out specifically and said, "Behold, this child is destined for a fall and a rising of men in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against." And it says, "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This was her little baby, her child, upon the cross. And she could do nothing. She could do nothing about it. Honestly, I don't believe that the Father would allow her to do anything about it if she could, because he came for this purpose. But the thing that we see in this is a mother's love for her child. That it is extraordinary, isn't it? And the lengths that they'll go to help and to protect their children from harm amazes me. I witnessed this firsthand, and I've shared this with you all before, and I want to share it with you this morning because it has to do with what we're talking about. It's easy to see how Mary felt and how she felt so helpless. Sometimes things happen in your life where you just feel helpless to help your kids too. I remember my mom, whenever I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, we were visiting some friends over here on Essex Lanes. They had a ranch, and their ranch house was up on a kind of a hill that you drove up on the hill, but there was a big bank that went down into a field, and there was a concrete watering trough down at the bottom and then in a barbed wire fence. Well, my little brother and my little sister were in the car playing. And my little brother always liked to pretend he was driving. Well, Dad didn't have the parking brake on. And he kicked it into gear, or into neutral, and it started rolling down the hill. My dad saw this happening, and all he could do was freeze. You know, it's like, is this really happening? But here's my mom, 9 months pregnant, runs and grabs a hold of the door and literally rides that car down the hill, turning it so it doesn't hit that concrete and goes right through the barbed wire fence. And I remember when my little sister was born, her feet were hurt as a result of that, because my mom, she hit pretty hard into that fence. But I was always amazed at a mom's love, you know, by what my mom demonstrated that day. Willing to put herself on the line. There's so many times where I've seen my mom in her care and concern for her kids that should make you, I mean, and your mothers, I know you feel the same, make you want to love them all the more. I remember when I was a little kid climbing up a tree. I was about 4 or 5 years old. Mom said, "Don't you be climbing trees." What did I do? I went out and climbed trees. And I remember I slipped and I fell. And I had a long old scrape on my side. And I'm crying. I come into the house and my mom says, "Oh, Carrie," you know, and she takes me up in her lap and I look up and I go, "Mom, am I going to die?" "No, I think you'll be okay." And she just loved on me. You know, I didn't get disciplined because she told me not to do it, but I think, you know, what had happened to me was bad enough. But then there were those other times, like for example, when I was in high school playing football, and I'd be laying in bed at night moaning because my arms hurt so bad from making tackles. And my mom would come in there and she said, "You want to play this stupid game?" You know, "Mom, where are you when I need to kiss my boo-boos?" Right? But you see, I knew that Mom did and she said things because she cared for me and she didn't want to see me get hurt. She would not go to my football games because she didn't want to see me get hurt. So we see Jesus here, he turns to John and he says, "Take care of her." And he looks at his mother and he says, "Let him stand in my place." Now John, he lived a long time, according to what we see, not only in the Word, but also in church history. And I believe he took care of Mary all the way until the time that she went home to be with the Lord. Amazing. This kind of love that Jesus shared from the cross, an example that he set for us. Here he is, bearing the weight of the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders, and yet he has time to make sure that his mother is taken care of. As God, Jesus is dealing with eternal matters, but as a man, he's showing all of us today an example of how important it is to take care and love our mothers. The Bible says, "Those who say they know him should walk even as he walked." Amen? And he sets the example for us. Truth is, folks, you cannot willfully wrong your mother and be right with God. Because we're called to honor our mother and our father. One of the things that we do all too often, I think, is that we just simply take them for granted. Don't you think? I found a little illustration. How many remember the comic strip, Calvin and Hobie's? Well, on one Mother's Day, Calvin is pictured standing by his mother's bed. "Hey, Mom, wake up! I made you a Mother's Day gift or card." "Well, how sweet of you," she says. "I did it all myself. Go ahead, read it." Sure, he begins to read. "I was going to buy you a card with hearts and pink and red colors, but I thought that you'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky that I got you anything anyway. Happy Mother's Day. There, I've said it. Now it's done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing me breakfast? After all, I'm your son. Signed, Calvin." She says, "I'm deeply moved." "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" he asked. That's kind of how we act sometimes, isn't it? Now, if your mother's still alive, regardless of her age, again, we are to love them if we're going to please God. No matter how rotten even they may seem to be, we still are called to love them, even if they seem to be an enemy to us. Because the Bible tells us even to love our enemies, right? And it could be that reaching out to your mother first could start the process of melting hard hearts, not only yours, but maybe hers, and mending the relationships that have been damaged. I want to this morning to show you 7 ways that you can practically show love to your mother. The first one I want to start with is one that's pretty obvious, and that is that you love her verbally. All too often people speak to their mothers verbally, but a lot of it's not in love. It's demanding, and some people outright curse their parents. Proverbs 30, verse 11 through 14 talks about people who do this, and I believe we're living in that generation. It says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There's a generation that is pure in its own eyes and is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." They become like this because I think it starts with the fact that they do not honor their father and they don't bless their mother. You know, it's so important for us to be able to say to our mothers, I love you. But you know, it's men especially, I think, that have a difficult time saying, I love you. Sometimes they say things like, you know, I love you, you already know it, and I've told you before, so if I change my mind, I'll let you know, so I don't make me say it, right? Kind of attitude. Or maybe, you know, I show love, not just say it. That kind of attitude. But I want to remind you of this fact, that women are communicators. And women need to hear those three words, I love you. You'd be surprised what those three words can accomplish. And folks, it's not only the mothers, it's children need to hear this too. Spouses need to hear it. Gentlemen, it doesn't make you less of a man to simply say, I love you. And it will make them love you the more. Amen. There was a letter written to Dear Abby. It says, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route to the Philippines, before it fell to the Japanese, we were en route to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. I did. 18 months later, while on a 10-day R&R leave in New Guinea. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes were to be scattered over the mountains, I found I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say, "You don't know how much I love you." I'd reply, "Likewise." I never said, "I love you." Now her ashes are on my dresser, where I tell her several times a day how much I love her. But it's too late. Although I wrote poetry to her, I could not bring myself to say the three words I knew she wanted most to hear. As my dearest was dying, and we thought she was comatose, I told her, "There aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you." A few hours later, she whispered, "Not enough words," and died. The reason I'm writing is to urge men to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. Don't know why, but many men are reluctant to express the depths of their feelings. And it's signed Missing Mary in Colorado. See how important it is? Spouses, children, and especially mothers need to hear it. And you know, again, some men just simply say, you know, I'm just not made that way. Then make yourself that way. Or I'm just not comfortable. How about making yourself uncomfortable? How about sacrificing for somebody else for a change instead of yourself? It's important that you remember this, gentlemen. Then the second thing that you can do is you can love her physically. Now, what do I mean by that? When was the last time you gave your mother a hug without her asking for it? It's like people are afraid of physical touch anymore. Afraid they're going to be accused of something sensual. You know, if you don't touch a newborn baby, they don't do well. And folks, I'm convinced that the elderly, that they're the same way. I think that they long for that loving touch, that caress of their hands, or maybe just a big hug, even just sitting beside them on a sofa or a love seat or something like that. I posted a couple of weeks ago on Facebook a picture of a man sitting in a chair, holding his quite elderly mother, and she was wrapped up like she was in swaddling clothes, holding her in his lap. Now, a lot of people looked at that and goes, oh, that just seems so silly. I believe that meant the world to that woman. I really do. You know, that tenderness that that young man showed. If you think about it, your mother, she was the first person that ever touched you. She wrapped you up in her womb for 9 months, right? And then when you came out, first thing she wanted to do was touch you. She stroked your little head, cuddled you, rubbed your feet, held your little cheek close to hers, even put out a little finger for you to grab. These are things that I think that we forget as we get older. But in love, she did all of these things. And of course, that includes, as you got older, grooming you with the licked thumb, right? Nothing like mother spit to hold down some hair. Nature's pomade, right? And when you were little, she would say to you, "Give me some sugar." And you'd pucker up and you know, and she'd always accept every one of your wet, sloppy kisses and even say thank you. And sometimes it probably wasn't an easy thing to do because not all babies are really pretty, you know, to be honest. A mother's love has long been used to measure love because, you know, haven't you heard the phrase, "He has a face only a mother could love," you know? You give her a big old bear hug so tight that she didn't have to hold on to you, but she would still allow you to cling to her. She walked around doing her chores and things like that. There was a lot of touching going on when you were young, wasn't there? She changed your diapers. Now we're getting personal. Potty trained you. That couldn't have been pleasant. And then held a Kleenex to your nose and told you to blow. She wiped the food off your face, probably for years longer than she probably should have had to. But the point is that she continually touched you. And one day, it's for sure, she had to hand you over to another, your wife or your husband. And she's not the same as she used to be. Her bodily presence has changed. And a lot of things have changed. But folks, she is still who bore you in her womb. And she deserves your touch. And I think it would mean more to her than flowers and candy or taking her to dinner. If you go to a nursing home and you get to know people there, one of the things that you'll find out, a lot of these precious little old ladies will come up to you and they'll, first thing they want to do is they want to hug you, or they want to kiss you, or they want to take your hand, because they long for that innocent brand of physical love. We're talking about something innocent here. The world has made physical touch something that's to be frightened of, but it shouldn't be. The next thing is that you need to love her patiently. Mothers have an incredible job with no pay, no position in a business world compared to the physical and the emotional and the spiritual commitment of motherhood. There's nothing that can compare to it. Don't ever make the mistake of asking a lady, "Do you work or do you stay at home?" The only thing worse than asking that is if you ask when she's due, if you're not 100% sure she's expecting. Many ladies today have to work on top of their full-time jobs at home already. And if you're still living with your mom, there's something I want to point out here that I think is very important. In spite of all that she does for you, we often become impatient, don't we, when it comes to what she does for us. We get so used to her taking care of things that we come to expect it. And we get outraged when things aren't done the way we think they should be. "Those clothes are still dirty. Or this or that is not ironed. Or why didn't you buy my favorite cookies? Or why didn't you prepare the meal the way I like it?" And if you're still in school, maybe she's late picking you up 5 minutes because you don't like to ride the bus. You need to remember to love her patiently because she is tender toward your needs. And there's no reason to take advantage of her. It's a reason to be more patient and to love her all the more. Especially let me talk to you teens about this, because kids, it's unfair for you to be more kind and more patient and considerate with your friends and your friends' mothers than your own mothers. If you treated your friends the way you treat your mom, you probably wouldn't have many friends. And if you treated your friends' moms the way that you treat your mom, most likely she wouldn't allow your kids to have anything to do with you. So it's important to think about those things, you see. Your mom's not always going to be around. And you want good memories. Amen? The memories that'll last. Now, for the adults with living mothers, let me share this. James Dobson shared a story on Focus on the Family Radio. And it was a letter from an 80-year-old woman on her birthday. And she says, "To all my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you that what I truly want are things I can never get enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangibles. I would like for you to come and sit with me and for you to be relaxed. We can talk or we can be silent. I would just like us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know how tiresome it is always in the past with my slowness and my set ways and the fact that you have to ask me or I have to ask you to repeat what you're saying. I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please understand about my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statements. I can't remember what time to take my medications or if I took it already. I take too many naps and sometimes sleep helps to pass the day. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are priceless gifts that I want." Finally, in his letter, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know I can too. It's a wonderful feeling to know his eye is on the sparrow and to know that he cares for me. I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, Mom." You ever think about that? You know, if you have your mom still, you're blessed. I would give you anything to be able to sit with my mom again. Love her attentively and pay attention to her. Mothers, I know that you pour out your heart. And folks, your mothers, they're very sympathetic toward you and they give you their ear. And they always give you ear when you've gone to her and you want somebody to really listen to you and to understand. And you know, and she's always on your side. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? My baby can do no wrong. Our parents, in their older years, have many fears and anxieties. And we need to treat them as we'd hope to be treated when we get in their shoes. Amen? And so whenever they say things that you've heard several times before, listen to her anyway. Listen to her anyway. Make conversation about those things anyway. Love her gratefully. An elementary science class had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. At the end of the semester, the teacher put out an exam with this question. 6 letters, starts with M, picks up things, what am I? Over half the children wrote, "Mother." What's the point? Again, we need to be grateful, like I said, not just today on Mother's Day, but every day of the year, genuinely, with a thankful heart, letting them know how much we appreciate them. And then I think it's important to love her generously. There's really nothing too good for your mom, considering what she's done for you. We can never repay her, but we ought to die trying before she does die. Amen? Remember, your mom didn't spend everything on herself. Chances are she did without so that you could have. This is especially important for the believer. It's part of honoring your mother and your father, meeting their needs in their old age. Love her honorably. That brings us to this last one. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Jesus had strong words for the religious Jews who claimed that they kept the law and they honored their mother and father, and yet they didn't because they allowed their religion to get in the way of it. Matthew 15, verse 3 through 9 says, "And he answered and he said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But I say to you, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his mother and father. Thus you have made the commandments of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And I remember there was a time where my mom and dad, they had to come and live with us. And I know it was hard for them. It's hard for parents to have to rely on other people, you know. And I think that's one of the things as believers and as their children, we need to make it as easy as possible for them and understand that very fact. It's hard for them to realize they need someone to take care of them too. And they, you know, it's like we reverse roles, you know. Now some might say, yeah, but my mother wasn't very honorable. Well, the Bible doesn't say that we're to be concerned about her qualifications. It only asks, is she your mother, right? Now mothers, let me say this to you. You're not perfect, and we know that. But if you are a Christian, I hope that you're striving for that, right? Another illustration, another comic strip. How many remember For Better or For Worse, that comic strip? Well, in this comic strip, it portrayed Michael's mother. She's tossing and turning on her bed, thinking about her role as a mother, asking herself, am I too tough or am I too lenient? Do I give in too much or too seldom? Do I listen to what he has to say or do I understand him? Do I nag him too much? Am I really a good parent? In the last frame, it shows Michael lying in his bed saying, the problem with grown-ups is that they think they know it all. No, Michael, they don't. They don't. In fact, mothers, I think, know all too well that they send their children off in the morning to all kinds of things that lay in wait for them. Things like drugs, gangs, alcohol, pornography, all of these things. And they have to be strong if they're going to overcome all of those things. So on this Mother's Day, you may not feel too comfortable. And maybe there are some things in your past that are, well, you're not very proud of them. And maybe you feel guilty. And maybe there's a dark section in your closet, you might say, and you feel unworthy as a mother. But again, let me remind you this morning that God only forgives. He not only forgives, but He forgets. That should be a wonderful message to you on Mother's Day. Encourage your children not to repeat the mistakes that you've made, but help them recognize that God is a God of mercy and grace. You have had a new beginning with Him. So encourage them to live lives that are worthy of His love. And I think that this is good for not only the 10-year-old, but the 40-year-old. Amen? All of your children, no matter how old they get. Well, maybe you're feeling the pressure of the world to get all you can and can all you get. But folks, especially you mothers, never be ashamed of being poor. And if you're experiencing the pressure of trying to buy things for your children, trying to buy that love, like the right running shoes, right designer clothes, and all these other things that they want very much, I think it's important for right now for you to take the time to teach them that life does not consist of the abundance of the things that we possess. Teach them that there are other things that are more important, the eternal things, things we can't see that will last forever. Jean Barron spent several years in a little mobile home that was pretty dilapidated. And she tells about raising her kids in that kind of environment. Then one day her son came home and announced that his best friend had run away from home. Jean Barron said, I looked at my child and I said, I don't understand. He lives in such a nice house and seems to have everything any child would ever want. Why did he run away? Her son answered, well, in their home, they have a lot of environment, but not very much love. In our home, we have lots of love, but not very much environment. Folks, love is free. And it doesn't cost money. It costs time and it costs emotion. Mothers, remember Psalms 127:3. It says, "Behold, children are the heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. And the enemy is trying to rob you of your reward. And he knows the quickest way to destroy you and your family is to attack your child, just as he did with Jesus on that cross. Your child, especially the young ones, don't have the maturity or the power to deal with those things. So it is indeed important for you to be vigilant and to protect your children in their vulnerable years. You may have to curtail some TV. You may have to turn off the TV monitors, right? Or the computer monitors. And you may have to go to school once in a while to talk to a teacher or an administrator about what your children are being taught. But you need to discipline and to train your children to respect adults and authority and to grow up in the fear of the Lord so that they can become good, strong Christian men and women." James Keller said this. He said, "Every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of new life. And when God places a child or children in your arms, His will for you is to bring them up in a home where they will know God and His Word and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior." Amen? Now, I think that I've pretty much touched everybody, whether you're an adult, or whether you're youth, whether you're the child, or whether you're the mother, whether you're the spouse. There's something we can all consider for Mother's Day, right? One thing's for sure on this day is what we've learned is that mothers should be honored and they should be appreciated. Amen? So I want to encourage you today, if you have a living mother, no matter what your situation is with her, it's just reach out to and love her. Can you do that today? And see what a difference that might make in your relationship. Amen. Let's bow our heads.